I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we have a great show planned for you today because it's what y'all Mad Monday. That's right, it's Mad Monday. So if something happened on the weekend that pissed you off, this is your day to come on the air and tell me about it. And I would be sympathetic and empathetic to your pissed offness. Now, that's a good word. Anyway. Basically, if y'all got something you're mad about, bring it to me. Today is the day for you to do that. If you don't have anything, y'all know I always got something in the back there waiting on the back burner. So either way, we're going to have a great show, and I'm glad everybody's here. We got Divine Design in the chat room, guest 1203. We got Mr. Ron Rick in the house also. Got 312 on my switchboard already. So that tells me everybody's getting ready to rock and roll. Now, I got sent a, hey, we got some stuff for you today. Of course, I got a song of the day that was sent to me through my email on my Facebook page, and I'm going to play that today also. So, man, we got so much going on early in the show. I don't know. You know what I mean? But if you want to participate on the show today, no problem. 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All one word. And you come in the chat room and have a great conversation with us. And if you just feel like you want to get really in touch with me, go to Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com and let me know what you got going on up in there. That is for sure, for sure, for sure. Oh, snap. Hey, we even got a quote of the day. And I'm talking about right there, man. I love it when my listeners help me out a little bit. Quote of the day comes from Divine Design, and it goes, "It does not matter if the glass is half empty or half full. Be grateful you have a glass with something in it." Amen. That is so right. That is so right. I got to get it. I get that some applause there. That was a good one. And you know, Divine, you are absolutely right, because there are some people, no matter what goes on, they're just not happy. They're just not happy. To be doing the best in the world, and they still complaining about something. You know, and then there's the other people out there that's barely getting by, and they're always happy, like me. And, you know, and always making the best out of bad situations, like me. But, you know, that's where it is. So I like that. It does not matter if the glass is half full or half empty. Be grateful you have a glass with something in it. And that is so true. I like that. I like that. That was good. Woo, my C. Laura Everness is in the house. Man, I'm telling you, we got it going on today. We got a lot of people in the house, don't we? Yeah, we got a lot of people. Well, before we get to the song, y'all know I really chatted up a little bit. You know, being the weekend is over, I know some people are acting kind of slow trying to get here. And yeah, I know Blog Talk acts crazy sometimes. So before we get to a song, let's go ahead and talk about a little something. Are y'all aware that the United States, the world, is lagging in quality of life? Are you aware of that? That is something. Quality of life. We're lagging. Wow, that's crazy. You know, and this is based on a social progress index. You know, overall, overall, the United States is 16th in quality of life among everyone, all the countries. That's scary, man. If we're supposed to be the biggest and the best, we only 16th in quality of life? Wow. But then if you start breaking down, now here's the part that really got me. Once you start breaking it down into subcategories like health and wellness, do you know the United States is ranked 70th? That's right, 70. What the heck is really going on up here in United States? Huh? 70th? And we supposed to be the baddest thing out there? Quality of life is ranked 70th among all of it? That is just something else. That is something else, man. I tell you, Ron, you're right. You see it. We see it on a daily basis. Now, for those that want to know what the Social Progress Index is, it measures the outcomes you achieve. Okay, it measures the outcomes that you achieve. It doesn't measure how much you spend, you know, how many people you have elected or all that good stuff, just what you achieve. And I think the biggest thing on this is the health care. You know, of course, we ain't going to get into the health care. We're not going to get into the health care because I know that's a whole different subject we need to talk about. You know, I know a lot of people get upset when we start talking about health care, especially the Affordable Care Act. Okay, for you people that really want to be nasty, the Obamacare. I guess I'm not being nasty. It's just what a lot of people named it, and that's what a lot of people went with. You know, but Affordable Care Act, yeah. You know, so I think, honestly, I don't care if Obama did it or anybody else, I think that we do need to reform our health care because it sucks. It really does, man. It really sucks. And you know what? Moving on from that. You know, I found out a very interesting statistic yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of y'all are not aware. But did you know the prison system actually starts tracking kids' grades in the fourth grade? Y'all heard what I said? In the fourth grade. And from whatever grades they are making from the fourth grade all the way up to high school is how they track how many kids will be in prison. I don't even know the word for that. How crazy is that? A fourth grader. So basically what they're saying, if he starts making bad grades and getting in trouble in school, then more than likely he's going to end up in the system. That is scary. Now, you know, once I get, you need to read more of this stuff. Well, you know what, H2O, it may not be new to some of you, but I'm sure there are others that it is new to. You know, and, you know, it's good to know these things. Well, don't get it twisted now. I already knew the justice system had a plan for filling prisons because they are privately owned now by corporations and individuals. However, I was not aware that it started how can I say, that early. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised that it's that early. You know, because I think at a kid at that age, man, you know, you can, I ain't going to say reform him, but you can get him on the right track. You know, but I just find that's very, that's the only word I can say, You know, that's all I can say. You know, okay, y'all, okay, it's been out for a while. Well, some of my listeners didn't know it's been out at all, so that's why I'm telling them, okay? Good Lord. So y'all know a little bit. Oh, Lord have mercy. They still say a government-run educational system is designed to track and place. Yeah. Hence, the Common Core. If you start testing everybody on the same level, then you can always come up with some answers, right? Bull crap. That's like what they have now, the STAR test, the what else they call it? Whatever your state got, the standardized testing that they're doing to make kids take before they graduate. You know, I think that's a bunch of crock. I do. That's a crock of crock. It really is, man. You know, because our kids, you know, they're not being taught anything. You know, my child went on a trip this weekend, and he came back so excited because he learned about black cowboys, and he learned about, you know, Zydeco Dan Bounce, and I mean, he learned about a whole lot of stuff that he didn't know. So it's interesting, you know, that they're not getting taught this stuff in school. You know, nowhere near it. You know, so we need to work on that. We really do. Yeah, Ron, I know. We are all in prison. You just don't see it. Oh, but you do. You know, Grace Jones made a song a long time ago called Slave to the Rhythm. I don't know how many of y'all remember that song. Well, if you wake up and really think about it, we slaves to the government, if that's what you want to be. You know, so when everything, well, we have outgone slavery, yeah, sure we have. We just not getting beat physically. That's all. Now they're doing it mentally. Yeah. And when they get their chance, trust me, they put your hands on you. You know, that called the police department. Oh, my goodness. Let me stop before I get started, and then y'all going to be wanting to beat me up. You're right. I do agree with the evidence. We are slaves to the banks. The banks, B-A-N-K-S. Yeah, we ain't talking about the Fresh Prince and his crew either. We talking about the federal banks, the central banks of the world. Namely that one out there in Russia. You know, and the one here in the United States called it the Federal Reserve. And then we got the one over there in China. I mean, yeah, we slaves to the banks. That's true. Amen. Woo! Yeah, you know, but that's scary. And you know what? Here's another thing, man. Speaking of slaves, you know, last week we got in a nice discussion about Cleavon Bundy. We really did. It was a lovely discussion. But then here comes Clippers owner Donald Sterling. And his crazy behind. You know, this man got a whole basketball team full of brown skin employees. But he don't want brown skin people coming to his basketball games. Now, how crazy is that? And his girlfriend is half what? Black and half Mexican, and that's really brown. So what the heck is wrong with this man? But you know what? In all honesty, I'm just say this, and We'll talk if you y'all want to. But honestly, this man has been doing this for years. You know, this should not be nothing new to the NBA. It shouldn't. You know, he did Elgin Baylor wrong. You know, former players have complained. Hey, the federal government has been after him because he wouldn't rent to certain people in his certain colored people in his apartments. And the craziest thing is, the local NAACP has given him a lifetime achievement award when won, and they were about to give him a second one. And I'm just, I'm listening at this, and I'm going, really? Who went to sleep on this? Or what is one of those things, long as it's not national news or it comes out, we'll be okay? I'm just asking. And here's another question for you. With his statements, was they actually racist, or what is just prejudice? Was he just prejudice stating what his opinion is? But is that considered racist too, even though he didn't use the code words? You know, the code words. Something to think about, huh? I know it is. So you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to go and play this song here real quick for Divine Design. And when we come back, I think we're going to talk about this a little more. We're going to bring 312 into the house also. And we're going to get into this thing, because I think it's really interesting. Okay, I'll say this when we come back, because y'all going to laugh at this one. All right, so here's a song by Nico and Vince, and it was a special request by Divine Design. And as I told y'all, y'all want some songs y'all want me to play? Only you do send it to me, I find it, and we'll play it. She actually sent me the whole song, so that made it easier. But you know, I listen to it, and I love it. It's pretty good. Without further ado, y'all, here it is, Nico and Vince, and Am I Wrong? Enjoy.
They all do. If one thing I know, I fall but I grow. I'm walking down this road of mine, this road that I go home. So am I wrong? Woo! Thinking that we could be something for real. Now am I wrong for trying to reach the things that I can't see? That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. That's just am I wrong for trying to reach the things that I can't see? But that's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. Trying to reach the things that I can't see.
That I'm talking about right there. Let me give that some applause. I actually like that song there. Nico and Vince, am I wrong? All right, all right, all right. You gonna learn today. Gotta go, gotta go. That was an outstanding song, Divine. Thank you, thank you. I like that. Am I wrong? Yeah, see, I got it now. I can play it too. Yeah. But anyway. That was a wonderful song. Thank you, Divine. And she gave us the quote of the day also. Man, I'm telling, Divine is on it. Y'all can catch up with Divine now. she trying to be a co-host all of a sudden. Let me stop. All right, anyway, it's like this. Ooh, you were playing it that loud. I ain't having it. It didn't sound loud to me. I see what y'all talking about. Anyway, we want to welcome the latecomers. Michael Hood is in the house. What's going on, Hood? Then we got Elverness, we got H2O, we got the Design Guest, 1203, 1219, 1220, 1232, 1240, 1245, and Mr. Ron Reddick in the house. All right. I'm just glad to have all of you here. And for those that's listening on your other devices, welcome to the show. You want to be a part, 347-838-8622. Come to the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And, of course, you can send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Okay? Now, y'all, are y'all ready? I got a special guest for you on the show today, my special co-host, and yes, I'm auditioning co-host, so if you want to take a shot, come and see me. All right, here we go, and we're going to welcome Claude Nation in the house. Once I get his gong, we get his mic open. All right, Claude Nation, what's going on, brother? How you doing tonight? Uh-oh. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to work the applause to die down a little bit first.
Oh, okay. All right, I understand. All right, man. You know, you in the co-pilot seat, so you ready? Are you ready? You know, you got some big shoes to fill now if you're going to come in.
Oh,
I'm just letting you know. So you got to bring it. Oh, Lord have mercy. So tell us about something about yourself, Claude Nation, for those that don't know. I know you have a show also, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which is on hiatus. You know, we did something called the Black Report. We did something called the Locker Room for relationships before that. But at the moment, I currently work on something called Solutions Now, which is a blog, and a lot like what you've done and what you've provided with this platform is create an outlet and a platform where we can discuss not only the problems but also attempt to address the problems with providing ideas and concepts, you know, for solutions. And so I do that often with my blog. I put it out there in the universe, and hopefully some people will grab onto it and try to apply them to their house. But I research and look at what's happening and also put in my own ideas as well, but try to look at what people are doing to solve problems around the world and talk to those types of people too.
Mm-hmm. Great. You sound like you're doing great things out there, brother. And you know you're welcome anytime. Usually you're in the chat room causing some stuff anyway, but I'm just joking about that. But you're welcome, and hey, we're gonna see how you handle this co-host thing, all right? You know, before we went to the song, I was talking about Donna Sterling, you know, and you know, his little comments. Now, if y'all want me to play the clip, I have the clip loaded. You know, I don't know if y'all want to hear all 9 minutes of it, but, you know, if you do, let me know and I'll play it. But right now, you know, I'm going to ask Cloud Nation, we're going to get in a little conversation. Y'all can join in any time now, I'm just telling you. But what are your take on that? Was it actually racism or was he just showing prejudice? Or was it a little bit of both?
Well, you know, it's after listening to the 9 minutes and I don't know how many seconds recording that I got a chance to listen to it, you know, it sounded a lot like a combination of the two. And I think the bigger issue that's I think some people overlooked with that scenario is not only how people respond to it, but, you know, you have a lot of factors coming out, like what happened with the NCAA and the fact that this is the second time that they would have awarded him, given him an NAACP award, because they were going to give him I think it was a Lifetime Achievement Award before this incident came to the air. So before that, there was public knowledge of the possibility of him having, you know, biases and issues against minorities in 2008, which he also received an award from the NAACP in 2009, right after that incident. So things like that stand out to me more than him saying what he said. It's not a surprise. I don't think anybody, well, I'm not going to say anybody, but I don't think most people were surprised by his response or his reaction. I think a lot of people wish they were surprised that he would respond like that, but this is definitely no surprise, I think, to many people, especially to people in the NBA who have already talked about, you know, the issues that he has with, you know, black players and minorities.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree with you 100%. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, but if this is the case, why hasn't the NBA done anything before now? You know, I mean, was that the best kept secret among owners and the NBA period? You know, why does it take it to be made public before they decide to do anything?
No, I totally agree with you. And to piggyback off of what you're saying, you know, there's been public information out there in the media, but it seems like it's been downplayed for so long. You had guys like Baron Davis, a former Clipper, who complained about it, and other players talked about, you know, the issues that they have with Donald Sterling and some of the racial undertones and different things that played out in his behavior, his mannerisms, his attitude towards players of a variety of different ethnic backgrounds, and how he seemed to be not just uncomfortable with dealing with, you know, people of color, but also that he had issues with a variety of different people. And you even saw stuff on Twitter like his daughter make a tweet where she was surrounded by a whole bunch of young black athletes. So, you know, there are a lot of underlying stories going on about this guy's character and why he would have, you know, he would respond like this, you know, regarding blacks, because he obviously has problems with minorities, particularly blacks.
But you know what? In while he was talking on that tape, he said something that I found very interesting, and it was he lives in a culture / society. Now, for, you know, everybody else, they figure maybe he's just talking about normal, you know, society. But I do believe he's trying to let her know that, you know, there's forces beyond him to where he has to act the way he does, or he will not be, he will be, I guess, ostracized, if you know what I mean. Because we all are aware there are, you know, other groups and, you know, shadow governments and things that really do not want the minority to do anything. Okay, so, you know, and I think, because he kept saying that one thing. He'd go from calling a culture to he called it society. Then he said cultural society. So I think, you know, he was trying to watch what he said, but at the same time getting a point across, you know. And he told her, if you can't do what I need you to do, then I get another one. You know, and I found those two points very, very interesting. Did you catch any of that?
Absolutely. I agree with you. Like you said, that he's accountable. He's accountable, and there's a surrounding group of people who apparently holds him accountable. Because, like you said, one of the things that stood out was when he made the statement that people called him. She talked about people calling him and people. Why did he care about, you know, these people calling him and basically calling him out and asking him why, you know, why his girlfriend was seen with Magic Johnson, apparently. And I think that also makes me want to know, you know, I want to know who these people are. Like, are these other owners? Are these other executives from some of the companies that we know of, you know, some of the bigger companies out there? And, you know, like you said, who are these influential conglomerates and these influential people who can bring this type of pressure on a person for, you know, being associated with minorities? So I'm curious about that as well. Like, why you know, who those people were surrounding him, putting pressure on him because of his association with minorities as well. That's definitely an interesting thing that really stood out in the beginning of the recording.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, of course, you know, you got the poverty pimp showing up all of a sudden because this is big enough for them to get some publicity on. And, you know, I'm like, really? What really is Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson going to do? I mean, really? You know, except for get more notoriety off of this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, really, really, what are really y'all gonna do? You know, but it's crazy. And let's see, we got a question. Say, only what to know one thing. Want to know why did that woman record her conversations? And you know what? I think she recorded because this was something she was hearing all the time. You know, and she wanted people to know, I guess. You know, because if you notice, she kept asking him questions. I guess, as I say, leading them on. You know, and this just one of the ones that was released, because there's plenty more recordings. You know, and they're slowly coming out. So I just find it crazy. I really do that. You know, it's taking this long for all this to come. Well, for us to find out, because I'm sure there's others that knew what was going on from the get-go, and it was just like kept on the down low, for lack of a better word. But we got somebody on the line here, so let me bring them in, and let's see what we got. All right, let's see, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here, and what you got for me? Happy Monday.
Hey, Mr. Talk, how you doing?
Well, hello, Michael, i.e. All Facts.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Pretty good. You have a new co-host.
Well, yeah, he's auditioning.
Oh, what's your name?
He's
sir?
Auditioning. Huh?
I said, what's his name, sir?
Oh, this
Cloud
Nation,
name,
Radio, Cloud Nation Radio.
Oh, Cloud Nation
Cloud.
Radio. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what you think about what we're talking about, Mike? Yeah, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to always try to stay on the factual side of things. What's puzzling me, I'm looking back and I'm hearing these adults and everyone comment on these things, man, different opinions. You know, people are deciding whether this shit is prejudice, or whether it's racism, whether he should keep the team. Does he have a right to keep the team? Should he sell the team to manager? All these things. Well, first of all, it's number one, racism. It's having sugarcoating it, causing it prejudice and all that stuff. I mean, it's clear what it is. His mindset is the problem of the world, clearly speaking. And I hear a lot of men out here and some angles are demeaning this woman. This woman has nothing to do with her. First of all, if the tape was not legal, we would not be hearing the tape. So she did nothing illegal as far as the tape. But he has an extra 5 minutes that they played, additional to the nine, where he talks about the Jews, and he actually talks about how he was displayed. This is racism, clearly racism, and it shows that other cultures can have racism, as he referred to the black Jews and how they're being treated over in Israel. This is a racial superiority complex. Any type of race can be racist. When you hear that definition, people say only white people, you only can be racist if you can, in that position. No, racism is how we treat each other, how we deal with each other socially, factually. So this man is a racist. And plus, he clearly has cases in the past where he has some discriminatory practices, clearly. You know, you cannot deny no one housing just because of their skin color. As long as they pass the background check and they qualify, you give that person that apartment or that condo. You can't do it. Clearly, he was doing that. This race is factually, it's no prejudice, it's no bias, it's no this. What he had to say now, I want to say this. When you are a business owner, it's social. It's public relations. So the community, any business owner can say something wrong and people can have a certain attitude and protest to that business. We control the business. Facts, the consumer does. We have spending power. We have spending dollars. So if someone wants to say, I don't think he should do, no, he ran his mouth. And it is what it is. So let's not sugarcoat this. Let's call it for what it is.
Okay. All right. Co-host, what you think about Mr. All Facts' statement before we bring in 2K in the house?
Oh, no, I totally, I think he was dead on with that. It's obviously blatant racism, no, hands down. But I think that what you stated also was huge when you talked about some of the underlying things that were happening beyond just focusing on what was said. But when we, you know, think about from a broader perspective, you know, if Don Sterling feels like this and he's this rich guy in this position of influence, what's the thought process of other people? This just highlighted, you know, like what he did say. He talked just now. He was talking about how, you know, racism is embedded in world culture all around the world. You see it, and so now you get a chance to see something from a macro level of what's happening, I mean, from a micro level that's happening on a macro scale. You see racism everywhere, and so this just exposes, you know, what's happening on a broader scale and a smaller scale to me, because I think that racism is indoctrinated in all types of corporations, and he just got, you know, they just caught this particular guy being exposed doing it because of his girlfriend. Obviously, people are okay with having sex with people of color because it happened in slavery. I mean, slave masters were having sex with slaves over and over again. So this just highlights that people can have sex with you, they can have some level of relationship with you and still hate you. And it's racism being highlighted. Racism, I like what one guy said, that racism is a refuge for ignorance. And it truly is, and I think that's really what's being demonstrated every time you see racism. The racism is that refuge of the unknown, of ignorance, of people not knowing a lot of, you know, certain things, and using that the unknown to fuel their hatred.
That makes sense.
Mr. Clark,
I'll
say
like
one
that.
More thing before you bring in 2K in real quick, and one
ahead,
other
Mike.
Major, yeah. See, one major thing is that as far as him being at a business, see, people want to say dealing with racism and working with people, you just suck it up, you're supposed to act a certain way, and I agree with that. But we cannot stop lying. There is a difference between knowing and not knowing, and we are emotional, and feelings do count, because even on the job, morale counts.
When you have a business, you have to worry about morale, about your employees. So feelings does matter. You can't say that. But it's very difficult, you know, to have those guys get up and play or try to win the championship. Or let's forget the NBA players. Anybody can be working in the corporate world, and the CEO makes some statements, and his employees have to go and work for that. See, it's difficult. Sometimes, of course, we need to strive on. So it's very important how a person's mindset and their concepts, because these concepts affect us to real, believe it or not. I'm quite sure we always thought that, but some probably just, you know, people just say, well, just go on, forget about it, doesn't affect you. It does affect people. It's an emotional thing, and people will, factually in this nation, try to hold you back on certain types of belief systems of that culture. And he did say that there are other people out there that's like him. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All righty then. Great points, Michael. Great points. And that's the society or the culture he's in. But let me bring in 2K in and get his points of view. All right, Mr. N2K, how are you today? What's going on, my man?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody on this wonderful Monday afternoon?
Doing wonderful, man. Doing wonderful.
See, the problem that I have is that the word racism, like so many words, get thrown around so haphazardly, and over time. The definition has been completely skewed. Racism is a misnomer now because someone can express an opinion about a particular people or a group of people, and they're labeled a racist. Racism is a group dynamic. By group dynamic, that means that you have the ability, either financially, economically, through the government, to keep a particular group at a disadvantage. Me saying that I don't like white people is not racist because I do not have the ability to affect or impact their lives in any way whatsoever. All it means is I'm either prejudiced or I'm a bigot. That's all it is. Mm. Now let's look at Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling is the oldest tenured owner in the NBA. He owned the Clippers for 31 years. He bought them in 1981. Now, I find it interesting that Magic Johnson, during the pregame show yesterday, when he expressed his ill feelings about the comments, went into a story about when he first came in the league, Dr. Jerry Buss introduced him to Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling had a pool party. Now, let's not play games here. When billionaires have pool parties, it's not the same as the pool parties we have.
Okay.
They're completely different. So, this is a man that was behind closed doors with this other man who's either drinking, snorting coke, dealing with, you know, got his upteen females. This is a married man who has a mistress in public. That tells you a whole lot right there. He's married, and he don't even go to the games with his wife, and she won't even divorce him. He's at the games with his play toy. So the real crux of the matter here is you modern-day athletes, you billion-dollar brothers, what you going to do now? And to answer Divine's question, it is Don Sterling who requests that their conversations be recorded. That wasn't her doing. They have over 100 conversations that have been recorded. At his request, not hers. So this was just one of many conversations. And you're going to tell me, Michael Jordan, oh, this is an outrage. All this time, you didn't know what kind of man this guy was? Really? They travel in small circles. I'm sorry. They travel in small circles. You gonna tell me Michael Jordan ain't never been over Don Sterling's mansion? Bet he has. just like Magic been there, just like Barkley been there, just like any superstar in the NBA you can name has kicked it with Don Sterling, regardless of his past, regardless of his resume. They done all kicked it with him. They might not like what he said. They might have not liked what he did. But the fact of the matter is, as long as they were getting paid, they kept their damn mouth shut. And okay. Here we are. Wait a minute. Here we are 30 years later, and the guys who are speaking out have more dirt on this cat than any of us will ever know. And why are they talking? Number one, they're not in the league anymore. Number two, it's not going to affect their money. Number three, just like Allura said, old boy network. He's the oldest tenured owner in the league. What does this tell you about the other 29 owners who have yet to say a word about it? And I'm done.
Okay. All right, man. Who wanted to say something? I think it was Clown.
Me, Michael.
Did you want to?
Well, first of all.
Oh, go ahead,
yeah,
Mike.
Well, first of all, what you just heard is the problem why we have in this world, why we can't move forward in this world. Now, you know, they tell us to go to school and be learned, and they tell our kids to go get educated. But it's clear what racism is. I don't know where the racism or the race comes up, but look at all dictionaries. If anybody can find another written definition of racism, let me know, and I will be staying corrected. But if it is, it's still making it ambiguous. But the foundation of racism is a belief, keyword, a belief that one race is superior than another race, meaning in order for you to have all those actions that N2K was saying, he kept on saying, listen, economics, you know, the money-wise, the infrastructure to have that power, in order to have that action, first you must have a psychological best of belief to hold another human being and race back, because that belief, that action, psychologically, it must come first. That psychological must come first, which is the thought, which is the belief, which is the anger, which makes you want to enslave people, and you will act out on that. So guarantee another race can do it. Muslims did it to Africans, enslave other people. Look at our history book. So other people have had that mentality in their history of their time. That's just a fact. And I'm saying no race should have that, because that belief in actuality is false. It puts fear in an athlete. It's a false faith. No race, no science can measure. No race is higher than the other. You can't do it. We all need each other, and we all made this world what it is today. You can't do it. So look up the definition and look. Remember, that thought, that belief comes first, and then they act it out. That's all I wanted to say.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Co-host, you got anything you want to add?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you know, I think what knowledge is saying and what all facts and what Michael is saying it are great points. I mean, you know, you have to consider what's happening, you know, like we were saying originally, what's happening on a broader scale. I mean, I was having this discussion earlier, and I believe that, you know, when you look back historically to some of the folks, ancient philosophers in the Greek age, the Aristotles, the Socrates, and so forth, when they were devising a plan to manipulate the nations, the world. I personally believe that all the way up to this point, even into the future, that what you watch is people manipulating and testing the reactions of people. And when I say that, I mean, typically, when you look at any incident, anything that has happened that has reached the headlines or not, anything, any art, any plight, any injustice, any form of inequality, any form of discrimination that has ever occurred historically, there's always some form of reaction, some form of response. And if you look at history, I believe that a lot of influential people have been measuring and studying and researching how people respond and what can people get away with. You know, what type of leverage, what can I do? I have leverage. How to build up my infrastructure, my leverage, and how can I influence the response and the reactions of people? What do people respond to? What do they react to? What will people actually fight for and stand up for? And what will people allow? If I, for example, if I use, in order for my imperialistic military system to work, can I? What do I have to sell? Can I sell terrorism? You know, can I sell the drug plight? What can I sell? Can I manipulate people that don't like people in other countries? Can I use immigration reform? What systems, what kind of things can I use to trigger certain reactions, certain behaviors, certain responses from people? And I think, you know, on a broader scale, I always like to look at, you know, what does this moment in time, what does this defining moment mean? You know, in the 70s, sure, that if this was to happen to those athletes, just like the NBA locked down for pay, and when it came to money, those brothers shut the NBA down. But when it came down to protecting the image and protecting your integrity into standing up for who you are, your people, against what's happening, you know, this level of racism, well, what people do silent protests, where people put on certain colors, or where they say, you know what, majority of us are black, so until this is addressed, we're shutting down the playoffs, period. No basketball, no entertainment. And you don't like us, you guys who are masters of this industry, we're going to shut everything down. And that's something that we need to key in on as well, is how people are responding and what type of measurements, what type of analysis, what type of research, and what type of things that the elite are learning from how we react, how we respond to defining moments like this.
You know, that's a very, very good point. You know, you know what, though, and when it really comes down to it, that's one of the things that I think allows people like him to continue on, and it's the economics. You know, the economics of the whole thing. Because this man is worth billions. I mean, billions of dollars. So, you know, sometimes money makes others forget things, you know. And, you know, being that he's been given at least one award from the NAACP, it just makes me wonder, you know, how much money has he donated to the NAACP, you know, for them to overlook certain things. You know, just questions that come about, you know, as we talk, and it just becomes like, really now, you know. And as far as the good old boy network, yeah, we know that's there. And N2K brought up a good point also, and that was, you know, why haven't we heard anything from the other owners? You know,
this thing is
so fishy, huh? What you say, Mike?
Well, we heard from Michael Jordan, but I really don't like Charles Barkley because I can see that conservatism coming out of him every time I talk, and he's saying, well, you know, they expect Jordan to be real evil, you know, and other owners should come out. But Jordan did come out and say that, and basically made a statement. But they should come out. But a lot of them, they feel that some of those, I don't know, he said other people was calling them. So you got to realize there's other groups, like you said, people were calling them. Now, what I heard my boy Beasley said was made a very good point, that maybe, on another hand, he may have been on Instagram himself and just saying people were calling him. So this may be coming from him. But I know there is some personal gripes going on with because that's his mistress, and she owns a lot of property. He bought her property, and she owns that. Wife can't take nothing because the deed and the title is in her name. But I understand all of that, but he said what he said. And in California, it's legal to take somebody. So, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, he has a history of this. So it shows in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is the point. You know, that is the point, Michael. You know, this is not a new action or a new behavior for him. But now, all of a sudden, you know, it takes now until, you know, it's made public, I guess. Now, my question also is, this man owns a basketball team, and majority of the team is black, okay? So how does that work? You don't like blacks, but yet your basketball team is black, and they play for you every night to put people in the stands and get you advertising. You know, and I think that is one of the most confusing things, about this whole thing. You know, how many players has actually, I guess N2K said it though, as long as they're in the league, they really can't say anything. But still, Barkley and Jordan been out the league for a while. Why now? I guess since it's made public, they can say something. And then, of course, let's be honest, you know, the man did mention that there's a culture or society, you know, it's a reason why people calling him, which saying tells me there's somebody that he deals with that tells him what he need to do. You know, now who is that culture or society? You know, we've talked about a lot of them on this show. So, you know, being a billionaire, you know, you can say he probably got some powerful people calling him saying, you need to check that. You know, just a thought.
Really?
Yeah, really. But
you
hold on.
That?
Huh?
You think that?
He kept emphasizing that there's a culture / society.
Right.
That he lives in. He didn't say we live in. He said that he lives in.
I get that part. The part that I'm saying is, you mean to tell me I'm a billionaire, and you're gonna call me and check me under what authority are you checking me? I'm a billionaire.
Right. That's what
I'm
saying.
You can't touch me.
So we gotta talk
if
about
they
the
can't touch him, who's calling him and telling
you know?
Him his girlfriend is on Instagram with a black man?
I'm telling you, those conversations are recorded at his request.
No, I don't think. How did you say that?
Here's the crux, because it's the truth, all facts. This is part of what's come out. I'm not getting into this emotional stuff. Let's deal with the reality of the situation.
No, you speak.
Here's the fact. He's the one who decided with his girlfriend that these conversations be recorded. It was not her idea. It was his idea. Now, with him knowing that, him being as savvy as he is, why would he sit here with a woman, number one, who isn't even his wife? He's in public with a hoe. Think about it. He's in public with a hoe, don't care who see it.
Well, that's what they do in California. That's why they have laws, and that's why the wife can do
it. Let me finish.
That's how they get down in California.
Got to understand the dynamics. When a man can have a wife and have females on the side and be in the spotlight with his females on the side and not even in the spotlight with his wife, and she don't get a divorce, who got the damn power?
Okay, so what is his purpose
power,
of what is his purpose
about
for her?
Power.
No.
This is
okay.
About power. Because guess what? If I'm a billionaire and I decide to invest in low-income housing and I decide to redline that low-income housing, as long as I don't get caught, I'm good. And even when I get caught, I can buy my way out of it.
Right, he already paid a fine for that. Right. But I'm saying, hold on, let's go back to your point. You're saying that he intentionally recorded these things so they can be
released. Yes.
Okay, and he said that's a fact.
They have over 100 conversations between him and his whore that have been recorded. Over 100.
Okay.
It's not like...
And now you have some. And now you have the president, who I don't like, this Andy Roser. the president of the Clippers, he heard the tapes, but he's saying that he doesn't think that what he heard reflects the views, the feelings, and the beliefs of
his job. That's his job. What do you think he's going to
say? All right.
My owner's a jerk. This is ridiculous. He's the, what did you say he was? What's his title? President of the team? Is that what you said? He's president of the team, which means that who pays his salary? Donald Sterling. Enough said.
Hello? What's going on? Anybody there? Hello? Y'all get lost on me? Hello?
Yeah, I was curious of what just happened because all of a sudden it went quiet for a second. I thought we were placed in the green room or something. Everyone was placed in the green room. Because it just went
not
out.
At all.
All right.
Not at all. I was probably talking to somebody else, but let me bring Mr. Solution in and get his comments on this. Mr. Solution, welcome to the show. And what are your thoughts on conversation we're having today?
Yeah, well, Eric, I had shared many of my thoughts with you, but first of all, yeah, what the guy said or what Don Sterling said was offensive. But it only hits the people who are weak that, you know, it impacts them worse because they have no power and they feel the impact of this, I guess you call it a right lead to the side of the head. They feel this more. If they were powerful, say if you said this about, I don't know, Cubans, if you said it about Asians, I mean, it wouldn't be that much, and it's not that much. By the way, I think I shared with you that in California, it is illegal to record a private conversation. But I think this guy was aware of that. I think he's okay. He's what you call judgment proof. They can't do anything to him. I think someone already mentioned it. He's a billionaire. I mean, what can they do to him? He's 80 years old. But one of the points, I think he calls himself a Jew, and Jews often want empathy, they want sympathy, they want to be seen as victims worldwide. And by the way, what happened to them happened in Germany. But he comes here and he plays this, is he white or is he Jew? What the hell is he? And so he's having a relationship with a woman who identifies herself as black, but yet he says he doesn't want to be around blacks. I mean, all of this is just stupid. I mean, racism itself is stupid, except for the fact that it was an economic empowerment plan. And I also shared with you how to help some people. I think maybe for the group, the opportunity has passed. But for some people, if you would, I would say teach a few chapters out of Dr. Anderson's book called Powernomics. Because you can spend forever talking about this thing, but people are going to push weak people around. That's just the way the world is. Once you stand up to a bully and punch him in the nose or her in the nose, they leave you alone. So the only way for people who identify themselves as black to get away from this is to become economically and socially empowered, mainly economically empowered. What do you think about that? That's the short answer.
That's it right there, on point. That's it.
But see, instead of doing that, all they do is go into emotional masturbation. That's
exactly.
Not going to get you a damn thing. No one cares. I mean, because after everything is over, it's just like a firework display. Yeah. It's a bunch of show, and that's it. So the only way you can really dig yourself out of this marsh is to become economically empowered. Teach Dr. Claude Anderson's book. One will do that. There's the answer. It's hidden in a book.
In plain sight.
Hmm.
Excuse me. May I please respond, please? And I would like to tell a story, a blog talk story. And the statement was made on your show, and I talked to the person last night. Well, first of all, Dr. Claude Anderson's book been out for 30 years. The whole foundation is messed up. You cannot have a separatist attitude to say blacks need to be blacks. When facts, we manufacture nothing, and that's a direct impact from slavery. Blacks, we manufacture nothing. That's wealth. That's money. That's the natural resources that's coming from the earth manufacturing. Having said that, black African Americans will always have to deal with another ethnic group. Factually, I had to define what a black business is to some people didn't even know what it is. But I want to say something real quick. I was talking to Payanti last night, and he made a statement, and it goes about this topic. And this is for Mr. Solution, because this shit is real out here. Payanti made a statement on the show that, he said he agrees with Sterling, and he said he agrees with Hitler, and some of his points he agreed with the KKK. On this show, he said, as a business owner, one of his employees, he found out one of his employees was in a mixed relationship. He fired him. That's what he said. Now, I questioned him on that last night, right? Now, he tried to backtrack. See, this shit is real. The way people look at somebody, and I said the belief is psychological. Now, Mr. Solution, you said one benefit of racism because it gained power. No, that part should never be. It's wrong. It's the reason why we have trouble in this world. And black Americans, we are a special group because we're always going to have to deal with them. They pass our laws and everything. That's a fact. So when you have that mentality, and when you look at a group of people like that, listen to what he talk about the black Jews and the white Jews. It's a fact. And if we don't, when you talk about socially is how you look at someone. You don't trust them, can't even have a business with them. Our politics and how we look at each other and how we treat each other has an economic impact factually. And no matter how much a black person has in this country, no matter what, those players still feel a certain way, even though they have that million, a plan for him. I can't say that they can't be emotional, but some people say somebody not emotional, that's a lie. That's a lie. You always have emotions. When you look and see if you can make more profits, I guarantee you, when you look at the more profits, I guarantee you'll be a little bit more happier. That's all I want to say.
That was it, huh?
Yes, that's it. There's some real stuff out here. Yes, that's it.
Okay, all right. Anybody else would like to comment on what Mr. Solution said before I bring Maze in? Anyone? Going once? Anyone going twice?
I like to say one thing. I think everybody, as usual, I think everybody contributes valuable input and information. I think that's one of the great things about this particular show, that, you know, it draws conscious-minded people. Maybe everybody is in different places of their consciousness, but everybody has an interest in consciousness at some level. Now, I think that everybody is saying a lot of the same things, but sometimes, it seems conflicting. Mr. Solutions had some great input, and I heard Knowledge agreeing with him. And then you have Michael Offex has some great input as well. And what we tend to do is not leverage both sides and bring them in together. It kind of takes us back to the days of I can't think of the two guys, but there were two train of thoughts. One, you guys will be able to name the people, but one train of thought was more stay in the South in this era, stay in the South, the blacks, stay in the South, and build your own. Then there was another train of thought during the Harlem Renaissance in that era, where the leader of that era, the Renaissance, was saying we're intellectuals, we're professionals, we're academics. Let's lead with our creativity, with our professionalism, with our education. And you had two different dynamics from the black people, from blacks, saying two different things that was conflicting instead of merging the two and marrying the two together. So what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. when you take the economic component, but you also take the morale, the compassion, the ethics component, and you marry those two together, we always come back to building our own sustainability and economics so that we're not reliant on outside infrastructures, outside systems. And that's the bottom line, that when we're codependent on others to dictate our future, then, yeah, then like he said, our influence, our lack of power, it does become a problem. And the problem is we haven't got back to the Black Wall Streets. We haven't got back to those, I don't know if it was Nat Turner, but we haven't got back to those mindsets where, I don't know, you know, the Carter G. Wilsons and people like that. We haven't got back to the mindset where we decided that, yeah, we need to build our own infrastructure so that we're not dependent upon others. Asians do it. The Jewish cultures does it. We see other people doing it, and the question always remains why, you know, the why. The why factor continues to stand out. Why have we yet to decide to come together collectively and try to make something? Now, I'm not saying perfect union, because there will never be a perfect union within any race, with any background of people, any group. We see that all around where everybody has, you know, differences of opinion. However, we do need to design something where we begin to work collectively. A popular thing right now that people are using is the peer-to-peer and the shared economy, which is, in essence, birthed out of cultures like the African culture, the Black culture. I mean, we did design we also existed in that way. We used to do the co-ops. We used to do the incubators. We used to do those unified fronts. And we have to get back to those places where we are driving culture and controlling the culture that we drive, instead of being drivers of the culture but controlled by others and dependent upon others.
And I'd like to add on that.
Go ahead.
Racism and economics are intrinsically tied together. You cannot be, by definition, if you don't have economic power, you cannot be racist. You can be a bigot. You can be prejudiced. You can be xenophobic. You can be all of those things. But you're not a racist. Racism implies economic empowerment. And until, as Black people, we understand that that's the vein that this works in. We're sitting here talking about this man, and like I said before, he's a billionaire. And here's the real crux to the matter. Historically speaking, if you look 31 years.
Right.
Now, anybody that knows basketball means that anytime you make the playoffs, it's a series, which is not like football.
Mm-hmm.
Winning 17 playoff games in 31 years of football, that means you've been in the mix a few times. You're not considered a failure. In basketball, you're a failure because it's a best-of-7-game series. So you can not even make the finals and win 10 playoff games. That's not even a problem. Now, here's this man who bought this team in 1981 that's been the doormat of the league. Now his private conversation leaks out. He's got a young team. He's got a good team. He's got a team that's going to be a playoff team probably for the next 4 or 5 years. How much is he going to make by selling that team now if, to appease the general public, they kick him out, as opposed to 5 years ago when they were doormats of the league? He's going to make 4, 5, 6 times his money today if he decided to sell that team. You know how many people be lined up to buy the Clippers who got that kind of money? They're a ready-made team. They're a ready-made team. So if he has to sell and the owners say, oh, I'm sorry, Donald, you're on this horse and buggy shit, it's time for you to go, he's going to say, okay, fuck it. It's going to the highest bidder. What's the count?
You know what?
That's how it works with racist people. The bottom line is money, and production. Mm.
Okay. You know what? Those are very good points. And you know, the answer, Mr. Solution, you know, we're going to get Clone Anderson here in the next couple of weeks because, yeah, you're correct. We do need to get on this economic thing. But, you know, once you think about it, okay, you know, I never looked at it that way, but that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, now that, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, so
now his team's value has quadrupled over one conversation.
That's
hold
on for a minute, Mike. Okay. Hold on. Let me get Maze in here. She's been waiting patiently. Hello, Maze. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm sure. What part is it a franchise where you got more than one owner to the team, or he's just the overall owner of the team, or is more people in? He's got shares.
Owner. He's the sole owner of the LA.
Well, since he's the sole owner of the team, I'm going to say it like this. Magic Johnson was a part of his conversation that he was having because she was in the picture with Magic Johnson. Everybody forget looking at everything. And Magic Johnson spoke out because he was part of the topic. And he's having an argument with her that she's Hispanic and white. She's telling him that she's Hispanic and black.
Right.
Like he's going to tell her who she was, and she was trying to tell him who she was, and he didn't want her assimilating with black people.
Right.
So she said, how could she deny who she was? Like, why would she? And then his wife is suing her. But I wonder how old she was when he first started talking to her to be 80-something years old. Was she 20, or was she 18, or was she 19?
That's where
the question is going to come in. Was she a minor at the time he started having conversations with her? That's going to be the money. Excuse me?
And I find it interesting that the wife is suing the mistress and not the husband. That's interesting.
The interesting thing is, was she a minor when he started having conversations with her or dating her?
Probably.
That's going to be some money, too.
May I say something? See, Mr. Talk, real quick. See, as me as an African-American born in Western civilization, growing up with my mind as a younger lad, I had Martin Luther King way was right, Malcolm X way was right. Stay in America, go back to Africa. Black people can't be racist. Only white people can be racist. Crazy as hell. Listen, it's just a fact. I guarantee Mr. Solution knows somebody that he has called a racist that's not economically more stable than he is. By their rhetoric, I guarantee you, if you have a blog talk show host that says no black people call my show, and people listen to his show, and he's talking about people will call him a racist, even though that person does not have an economic. He's not paying none of your bills. That's just a fact. We need to stop playing with definitions because it's how we act and treat each other. It's just the way it is.
Can I finish? Okay, you finish. But Mr. Talk, I wonder why everything that came out of his mouth, Magic Johnson didn't put it in his mouth. Magic Johnson lives like Carl Anderson. He has no problem. He spoke out. And a lot of people know what Carl Anderson doing, but they don't participate in what he's doing. He stuck at that by himself. And a lot of people do participate in the things. I'm glad you're having him on. But Magic spoke out, said he would not to go to one of their gang. And if it wasn't for the people that was working for him and all that money that he's pulling in through that door when they pay for that ticket, it's what made him what he is.
Hmm. All right.
So they don't get no respect. Mm, you got to look around and say, look at this and look at that. But where the respect going to come from those boys is being out on that court that made him a millionaire? Where did that respect come in? Mm. To think that he won't have nothing to do with him, but he wants him to get out there and perform for him and make money for him. And after that, this is what we get.
Hey,
and nobody put those words in his mouth except him. Nobody came along. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, nobody put those words in his mouth. He put them in his own mouth, and it came out to show how he really feels.
Maze, can
but
I ask
we can't
you
look at nobody but that man that said it.
Can I ask you a question, Maze?
And there's a lot more out there just like him. Yes, what?
After the conversation surfaced, which was on Saturday night, did every player that is under contract for the L.A. Clippers show up the next day for the game?
Yes, they did. And if they don't do something to him, they might not show up for the game the next game. If they don't do something to him, because the reason why they got to investigate to make sure it was him, that's what's holding him up.
Well, see,
which we already
see, Maze, that's good in. See, Maze,
so
that's good in theory. Maze, that's good in theory. But the problem is, you know, whether they want to play or not, these guys are under contract.
Yes, they are.
See what I'm saying?
But
so,
those fans not
going
to have a contract when they go to play in that town.
Well, yeah, the fans not. So, I mean, the fans don't have to show up, but the players on the contract, they have to show up.
Guarantee you they sell out Tuesday night.
And if they don't show up, what's going to happen?
It will be sold out Tuesday night. Guaranteed.
And if they don't show up, what's going to happen?
If who don't show up?
Well, I
the fans.
Yeah, they're going to show up. But hold on, let me get, let me let Renee, hold on, let me let Renee in, and Les Jackson, and we're going to start with Renee. Hello, Renee. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Hello, Nisa.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Hi, Auntie May.
Hello.
Oh, no, not goodness. Auntie.
Right. How's everybody?
How you doing today, Renee?
Good. I mean, my feelings on this, I do not understand why black people are even upset, angry, concerned. I don't understand why. I mean, you know, this is typical. We keep thinking, black people, a lot of us keep thinking that we have evolved and it's a post-racial society. Not completely, but to a certain level. But what we need to understand is there's a higher level financially of people who are in control that do not look like us, and they do not care for us. What the guy Sterling has is the slave master relationship, okay? Now, he has his team of his slaves, you know, his niggers out there, playing basketball, making some money.
All right.
He has.
You use that word. I'll let you go with that one.
Okay, I'm sorry. He has his black woman. Okay, but he can sleep with her and involve with her intimately because that's what he wants to do. Just like the slave masters did. They didn't care for black people, but they sure would be with a black woman. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But they use the black men and black women, but in this case black men, to make them money, to pick cotton, to do whatever. So that mentality is never left America, okay? We have to understand that just because he's, what, almost 80, I think a lot of black people, especially younger black people that I talk to, black young men who are into basketball, they feel like he's old and what he feels is not relevant anymore, and people younger than him and of now, they don't think that way. And I feel like, wow, I just want to wake them up to say they do. Again, we have to look at the infrastructure of America. I mean, it produces this type of thing. This is normal. And all this man is going to do is, like his, I'm sure his lawyers told him, ride it out. He may come out with a statement, you know, something contrived or whatever. He may sell it to, I think people were saying he was going to sell it to his wife or something to still have it in the family. He's going to have to do something like that. But this whole thing is going to blow over, just like everything else, Trayvon and Jordan Davis, whatever. We're upset for 2 seconds. I don't understand why. And then it'll be over with. Next week or the week after, people will be done with this story. And people will go on watching basketball, supporting that team, supporting teams in general, and there will be no issue.
Okay. And you know what? You made some good points. All right, Les, you up.
Here we go. Let me say good afternoon to everybody. I want to say that first. You know, let's face this fact. We know that he's an old white bigot that's still holding on to things from the past. I don't think that most young people today are thinking or concerned, just as Charles Barkley just said on television, they're not concerned about that. I mean, half the young people don't really even know, have no clue about what was going on. But now let's also look at this. He bought the team for $12.5 million. The team is now worth $515 million. Okay? Will he have to sell the team? Yeah. They're going to force that. Because if he doesn't, he's going to lose everybody that he has, because now all the players have lost all respect for this man. Should they play the game? Yes. They've got the best chance because they've never, ever won a championship. And they're not playing for that owner. They're playing for themselves. They're playing to make a name in NBA history for them. And so I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the fans. Will the fans not show up? They're going to show up because it's a non-refundable ticket to any playoff game, and I'm not going to spend $2,000 and $3,000 and don't go see the game. Let's face the real facts. You know, I mean, the real facts of this thing is it going to be repercussion? Yes. It's going to take a process. Do we even know? And everybody is we quick to say this is him. But where did source come from? And what was the motive behind it? First of all, in California, it's illegal to tape somebody and not tell them that they're being taped. That's why they're investigating this young lady right now. And they're sitting back and they're trying to figure out what criminal charges they might have to bring on her. So we opening up a whole can of worms in this thing. Yes, it's bad. It's bad what he said. But we know that these white bigots is out here. We know that white folks, we know them old whiteys ain't gave up nothing. They ain't lost their ideology and the things that they grew up with, just like we don't give away slavery. The same way we can't give it up, they don't give it up. The same way we feel scarred, they still feel like they masters. If it was in reverse, if we were on top, it would be the same thing if it had been a white or a black owner that said that about a white person and was going with a white woman. So when we make these statements, let's make sure that we're not doing them out of passion and emotion, but let's look at it from the reality of what it is. Like I say, he's going to be removed, but the NBA can't remove him. The only thing they can do is suspend him. The other owners, it's an elite club of 32 owners. Michael Jordan was the first to step out. Well, he's the only black owner in the elite.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's the only black full-controlled owner of a team.
Yes, he is.
That's why he stepped out and said what he said. What you getting ready to say, Jay-Z and Beyonce and them, they're part owners. They're co-owners. They're not even in the board meetings.
So Les, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Now, him as a businessman, he has a choice. And like Charles Barkley was saying, no one can force him actually to sell that team. But
exactly.
If he doesn't, but if he stands firm, do you think the players should be emotional and protest? Because a protest is emotion. Morale on your job, getting up and going to work, because there's a difference between knowing and not knowing.
Right now they don't need to protest. Right now they need to go win that championship and say, we didn't do this for this owner, we did it for the people, because the owner don't care about us. And that would be the statement that I would give after I win the championship. Because next year, believe me, and you got to watch, look at the long term of this thing. Next year, them players are going to be gone. They walking away. They stepping, man, because there's a scar on them, and they remember what their parents, grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and they going to sit back, and they going to step away from the Clippers. The Clippers will be lucky if they can even get a great draft pick coming up in the draft.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute, because it's interesting, you know. And you say the players, you know, they shouldn't protest right now. I think, you know, before they protest, number one, there's a players' union. So, you know, they have to go, you know, go through the players' unions first. But, you know, we quick to say let's protest, let's do this, let's do that. But, you know, it all comes back to economics, man. You know, yes,
right.
They're making a whole lot of salary, but the question is, can they afford not to play? I mean, once you make the playoffs, you're making money. You know, every game you play, you're making money.
Right.
Okay? So,
well,
you know,
it's
but see, but you know what that becomes?
I would respect somebody.
That's when the NBA takes over. Okay? In the regular
mm-hmm.
season, it's the owner's salary. When you go to the playoffs in any
right.
sport, then the whatever league you're in, that's when they start paying you the bonuses, the plus
right.
money. Okay?
Oh, this bonus
so
money.
What we have happening here is actually they should play. Matter of fact, I would play to win. That would be the motivation to win this championship, okay? Because if they don't go out there and win the championship, and if they do, it's not going to do any good. Because like I say, this got long scars. This ain't going to be something that's just going to,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to blow over. And see, the rest of the owners, what people aren't talking about, and I heard it talked about earlier today on some of the sports shows that I've been listening to. See, these owners, like I say, it's only an elite group of 32. And this man, this ain't the first time this man done this.
Right.
This man has been a slumlord all his life. He made his money in real estate, okay? He started out a poor
mm-hmm.
Jew going to public schools, and now he done just forgot all of that. It's like he, you know, like most of them do. But them 32 should have been got rid of him. He did this in 84. This ain't the first time.
Hmm.
Not like this the first
right.
time. This man has been a problem for years.
And that's the point, though. But you were saying...
Well, see, here's the point. If you knew this man, and everybody's been making this same point, if everybody knew this man was a problem, but see, it's more to it than that. Now think about this on the flip.
How long did it take for them to get rid of all
watch this? Think about this. Let me say this real quick, and I'm gonna shut up. Think about this. You can't jump too soon because what if he sits back and his lawyers done already told him, remember we got freedom of speech in America, so he can say whatever he wants. He can have any opinion he wants. That's his opinion. The woman entrapped him because it's obvious it was a setup. Okay, we know this. It had to have been a setup. So let's not ignore that fact. Now, if he was to sit back and say, okay, y'all kick me out, I'm going to take y'all to court. Now I want to be paid. I want to be paid perpetually for all the years that I could have owned them. Do you know what that would do to the NBA?
What happened to the last person that got kicked out
of
the okay,
well,
see,
first of
we
all,
don't
that,
look at it. We
I'm
don't
really
look
evil.
At it. Because
can
this
I
is
say
a business.
Real quick?
Go ahead.
Can I say something real quick? I totally do not agree with you.
Not
now, on the part where you said that the players have lost respect. No, they haven't. I don't think they have. Because, like the point you made again, that they knew this man was like this. This was not a secret. So how could they lose respect for someone
because
they already
knew? Because I said the owners.
Right?
I said the owners. I didn't say the players. I said
the
owners.
The players know.
The players
know.
Didn't know.
Yes, the
players don't
racist.
Know because the players ain't hanging with the
yes,
owner.
They
like they say,
yes,
half
they
the
do.
Players don't even know who own these teams.
They
not playing for the owner.
They meet the owner when
they
come.
Half
racist.
These people don't even see their owners. The owners
then,
don't
I'm
even
sorry.
Be at practice.
I'm
you
sorry, but
understand
he
how this thing works.
He has
you got to understand how this thing works. Most owners don't even come around
no.
their team because they do a lot of stuff.
Wait a minute, Les. Can I say something? I'll listen to you.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll listen to you. I mean, these men have some type of intelligence, okay? They know that man was racist. It's well known, it's documented before, that he said things. I don't know what man who's
okay,
out there
okay.
making that type of money.
If you're 21 years old, what year were you born?
Oh, my gosh.
And this happened in 84.
But look, these players out there, they know who the owner is. They talk amongst themselves. They hear things that we don't hear. They know about things we don't know. So to say that they lost respect, I don't believe that at all. Now, you said that they're not playing for him. They're playing for their own basketball, being a superstar, whatever. Yes and no. They're playing for themselves, but they are playing for him. Because they want that check. And this is why they showed up for the game, because they want that check. They are playing for him. And I think it was despicable that they showed up for the game. And they turned the shirts inside out. What does that mean? You're still present? You're still participating?
Right.
I think that's awful. I think they knew that this man already didn't like black people. The word was out there. And because they do work for NASA, they're working to get that check.
And also they knew who the owner is because he's sitting up in the box looking at him play.
Well,
and
first
his girlfriend
of all, that,
sitting up in there, they knew who he was. But what I'm saying is, what if the team just play, but they don't play to win? And how much is that team going to be worth then?
Well, they wasn't worth anything anyway, but less.
I know.
It's reported on the Internet. He's always talked and said things to the players. Yes, he interacted with the players. He walked into the locker room and had some women with him and walked into the men's locker room and says, look at these beautiful black bodies, factually. See, Les, you have to talk about
the owners are not walking into
here.
The locker room on every game.
He's been there for 30 years,
Mike, 30
years.
I'm telling you.
I know he's not.
My cousin plays for the NFL. You don't see the owner every day.
Okay.
They know
listen,
who they
first
are.
First of all, NFL only has
the owners are the same. They're the same in all sports because it's a business. It's a business to them. It's an investment. This got really, the bottom line on this is it was a lover spout. My man was going
to
cut girl
Let's
off.
Go back to the
girl
table.
Was
going to
cut
Let's.
Him off, and this
Let's.
Is what the girl did. It was
Let's.
A thing
Let's.
Of a woman being scorned, and she
no.
sat back and said, okay, I'm going to get you where it hurt. But she didn't look
but,
at the ramifications of what
you
was going
to
happen.
You always want to go to the woman. You
That's
said
your
you want to go to the woman.
Wow.
And listen, I want to say something.
No,
like,
you know what? You just don't want to say the truth on it. How did TMC get it, Mike?
Listen to me.
Mike,
I want to say something.
Mike, how did TMC
because
get it?
Because she had it on her Instagram, just like young people do, put it out there so everybody can
hold on,
wait.
Who put it out there?
She gave it to him. She did.
Just like
she
gave it to him. Probably, just like she put the picture out there with Michael.
She didn't give anything to him. She took the picture out.
He was complaining about the picture.
It's already a known fact she gave it to him.
I'm saying he was complaining about the picture that she had out there, so that's where it came about. He was discussing the picture that she
didn't come about that picture. Believe me, this didn't just come about that one picture. This
they were
came
talking about,
from a
he was talking
series
about take,
of them
yeah.
arguing. He had
yeah.
been sitting back messing
yes.
with that woman for a long
yes.
time,
no,
and the
no.
woman got fed up.
Left
now,
I mean,
look at this. She was
no,
the mistress. She
man,
the
you're
going to
dictate the conversation, man. You're dictating the conversation. Go ahead. You big ball.
All right, wait a minute.
Okay, hold on, hold on. I'll slow all y'all down. All right, hold on. All right, let's see if we can't get some more. Cloud Nation, are you there? I know it's been a lot said, what's your thoughts on it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I was ready to talk about the pimps, the poverty pimps.
Uh-huh.
Because
the poverty
pimps. Because that actually factored into this whole discussion. So I was really interested on some of the articles and information you had regarding Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and some of the poverty pimps. Appearance in discussions like this.
Okay. Well. Okay. Oh, you know what? Okay. I got you on that one. Well, you know, my take on that is, you know, this is the type of scene where you see them come out the work zone, you know, because it's high profile, it's a lot of media, and then, you know, they can make another so-called name for themselves as quote-unquote voice of black people. You know, now I don't know who elected them that, but, you know, the media maybe, but that's what they carry themselves as, the voice of the African-American community. And, you know, but you don't hear about them unless it's high profile. You know, and I think that is just ludicrous, as Michael, that boy the boxer said. So that's all I'm going to say about that right now. But I'm open to other suggestions. Hold on, Mike. Mr. Solution, hold on. Mr. Solution, are you there? Okay.
Yes.
Knowledge,
yes.
Are you there? Oh, okay. I heard him. So what do you think about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton putting their 9 cents in?
Well, they have First Amendment rights. I mean, they have freedom of speech. I don't see the problem. A lot of people have heartburn with these two gentlemen, but Mr. Sharpton is on MSNBC, which is a fairly coveted, certainly a high-profile position. He's a pretty smart man. He's not a dummy. By any stretch of the imagination. And I think a lot of times he is actually called in. He's actually requested. So I know it's easy to dump on certain people, but, I mean, like I say, he has freedom of speech rights. If people call him in, they think he's effective in raising consciousness and getting a little bit of action, although I think without the economic empowerment, most of your efforts are going to be worthless. A number of people have said this. I mean, it's like a tempest in a teapot. It's just mental and emotional masturbation. It is so unfortunate that many people do not understand substance over symbolism and a distinction without a difference. So again, they're able to do what they do because obviously some people want them. And finally, and certainly, you know, the overarching point is they have the right, just like you do, to express their opinion, which is what they do.
Well, substance is symbolism. As you know, in marketing, it's all about brand, and that brand usually has a symbol. It's just a symbol, but people put value into that symbol. But I really don't want to ask that was solution to the question, but I'll wait for the closing statements about the tapes that she recorded. But that's, you know, that's a whole other topic. Since he's an attorney in California.
Well, what's your question, Mike?
They said that the tapes were illegal tapes. Now I know in Maryland it's illegal to do that, but in California, I'm just saying, California, when TMZ got the tapes and if they didn't ask if they were illegal or not, they shouldn't have broadcast it. That's a lawsuit. But Les Jackson said that they were illegal, the illegal tapes. If they're illegal, they shouldn't be broadcast. Why is no
watch
one saying
this,
anything
this.
About
in
that?
California, okay,
that's
Mike.
I'm
in, okay,
no,
and
no,
Mike,
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Okay, and let me explain it, Mike. Here's what you can do. Okay, and here's what they're going to do with this. Okay, they will not give those tapes to the NBA, only because they now may indict themselves into a can of worms because it is illegal for a person to tape a conversation like me and you talking now. If I don't tell you in California, Mike, I got you on tape.
That's how it is in Maryland, right?
Okay,
agree.
But now I can take it and I can sell it. Okay, but now with all these ramifications that are opened up now, the can of worms are open. Watch this. The can of worms is
illegal, and somebody broadcast something illegal. TMZ cannot broadcast something illegal.
No, they can broadcast anything that they want to broadcast.
Well, maybe she takes it in another country.
Listen to what I'm saying. They can broadcast what they want. Now the question that I just heard a legal analyst say this: will TMZ give the tape to the NBA? Probably not, because they don't want to be implicated in any type of criminal wrongdoing because they were a third party. Okay? So I understand all of this is just the business cycle of white America being done fell on their face, like my man say, what do you say, the hens have come home to roost. And we just got the hen has now come home to roost in the NBA, and you will not see, if you watch these, this Elite 32, the only one that's going to really step up is probably going to be the younger owners. Them older owners, they feel exactly the way that Joker feel in L.A. with the Clippers, the same way. But in order to keep themselves from being investigated, because, like I say, this opened up a whole can of worms.
Now,
they
I
are not
going to
say a thing.
Can they use them tapes in the court of law?
Can I
if you don't know the country, they can't.
I don't think that, you know, the thing with the recording and if it was legal and all of that, that's just pointless.
You say it's pointless, but that's what they look at.
But
you think the NBA right now is not consulting lawyers to find out what's going on here? Do you think that's what?
Well,
you don't think
the
rocket scientists to sit down and say this man was
Wait. All right, hold on. Everybody hold on. Now, you know, I think, you know, I heard all this, but I do believe from hearing what we're talking about now, what we're talking about, I do believe he knew he was being recorded. He had to because he tried to stop the conversation too many times. You know, if you listen to the tape, you say, that's it, that's it. All right, I won't talk about it anymore. But she kept All right, thank you. So I do believe that he knew what was going on. You know, because if it's a, you know, Michael, you made a point, and here's the point. If TMZ knows it's illegal to tape anybody in California, I don't believe they would have taken that tape. They would have taken that tape if they thought it was done illegally. I really don't believe that. And, you know, that's the way it is. But before I let y'all go ahead and comment on that, we got 10 minutes left in this show. If you want to continue to hear the show live, 347-838-8622. You need to get on the line. We will be going in overtime. And you need to be on the phone to continue to hear it live.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Maze. Maze was waiting. I remember Maze waiting. Go ahead, Maze.
Okay. They talk about Jesse and they talk about Al. Now, when Hank Aaron spoke out and all the racist mail he got, nobody said a word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I wonder.
Well,
mm-hmm.
You wonder, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did Hank say?
When he was speaking about his party that he was in and what he said about them, that was last week or 2 weeks ago.
What party?
Yeah, his Republican party that he belonged
to.
The Republican party.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I mean, he probably didn't tell them anything to say anything that was brand new.
Oh. But anyway, they got
you know what I mean?
He got all kind of hate mail because of him telling how he felt.
Okay, well, I mean, that's, look. While y'all was talking, I was checking in on the lines. Heck, I just got a hate call. You think that bothers me? No.
Because they don't like the conversation.
So, I mean, so it's all good, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so oh, well. But,
yes.
All right. I think, Renee, you was next.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Renee.
Okay, as far as the recording and all that kind of stuff, we don't need to really worry about that at all. The fact is, we know that was that man saying that. And those are just details to distract us further. Oh, well, was it, you know, did he know he was being recorded? Or did she do it, you know, underhandedly and all that? That's not the point. The point of the story is what was said. And if you think about it in terms of the NBA is 70% black, okay, there should be outrage in the sense of people should be making a stand about it. And my feeling is if the players are going to go ahead and go in and play, then we all need to just be quiet about this issue. Because as black people, we are not taking a stand on anything for us. And people are running around here acting so surprised like this wasn't supposed to happen, and these people still don't exist. And someone earlier, I think Les was saying about the younger generation. Okay, the fact is, though, with the younger generation, they're still influenced by the older generation. This is their grandfather, okay? And their father likely has the same belief. We keep on thinking, black people, that just because the years go by, that, you know, quote-unquote white people's mentality about us changes. That's not true, okay? It's just the fact that now things are different. You can't be as blatant with things. You have to be more kind of inclusive. You know, you have to do certain things to go along to get along. And black people are mistaking that for being liked, for being appreciated, for being friends or cool with white people. We're mistaking that. We are the ones mistaking that. So when something like this happens, I see no reason why those players should not have stood up. They went for the money. And it shows you where their heart is at. Their kids wasn't going to starve. Come on now. If they even skipped out on a game or two games, their kids are not going to starve.
Yeah, like you said, it is bonus money, Mr. Tuck. But I understand, and listen, I'm just saying, if a player would do that, I don't think no one should get mad at him. That's his money, and it is what it is. So, I mean,
if it was gay people, the gay people would have mobilized immediately. The gay players in the league would have came out and been pissed off and done everything they could do. They would have shut that man down within 48 hours, 24 to 48 hours. It would have been a wrap. He would have had to come out and say
the
something.
Players can't
say,
I don't hate gay people.
The players
cannot
had
step
to
him
do
down.
Something.
The only
but,
people that can step him down are the owners. The players have nothing to do with
I'm talking about the response from the public. I'm talking about the response from the public.
Even the public
I'm talking
right.
about
the outcry. Have nothing
I'm talking
to do
about
with this.
The LGBT
yes,
community
does,
mobilizing and organizations speaking up.
But
that's what I'm talking
will
about.
Have nothing to do with
this
decision.
Yes, it is because
you don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. And you know what? I'm not. Understand this. I'm not disagreeing with you. The public should be outraged. We are outraged. That's why we're talking about this now.
No,
because
we're not.
Outraged. But at the end of the day, it's those 32 owners that have the final decision. I don't care what I think.
No,
wait. I don't care what I think. I don't care what I think.
Okay.
If the NBA commissioner cannot get rid of this man, and he is running the whole NBA, and matter of fact, what's my man name? Chris Paul is the head of the players' union.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, he's
no.
the head of the
it's
union.
It's not just the other owners that have power. Here's the point I'm making. This is Mr. Solution. May I make a point?
I don't know what you guys take away from what you're talking about is, but regarding potential protest, if you purchase the ticket. With your credit card, you have more power than you do even if you purchase it with cash. You can rescind that payment, regardless as to what they said. If you read the back of your credit card statement, which a lot of people don't do, if you're not dissatisfied, I mean, if you are dissatisfied or if you're not satisfied with the purchase, you actually can have those charges removed, and that will be between the issuer of your credit card and the business establishment.
The merchant,
so you,
right.
You can't have those charges rescinded.
And also with that credit card, if you purchase something, you have a year's warranty by using your credit card. For those that didn't know that, you have an extended warranty when you're buying a warranty for whatever you purchase. That credit card that you have extends it another year by using it.
Renee, just one statement, please. Mr. Solution, you're so right. Because I go with what you're saying. This is education. I thank you. I learned something. But I don't care. I'm a business owner myself.
social, it starts with the customers. People who pay the money
mm-hmm.
has a voice too. Your business yep. will always, you will always be a slave to your customers. That is a fact. Public relations is everything. And the players in it too. That's all I wanted to say.
I agree
okay.
with you on that. You know, I really agree with
you.
But I agree with you. The power is not really in the owner's hands. I mean,
nope.
they have a certain level. But we have more power as people, the players, those involved. Like I said, if this were a gay thing, okay, the gay, the LGBT, GLAAD, and all of these organizations, oh, hell no. They would have came out. They would have had huge protests. They would have been all over TV, and it would have been pressure on him. It would have been actual pressure on him to make a stand. You better stand up. You better say something to these gay people about what you said. I'm not saying that they could have made him sell the team and all that. What I'm saying is they would have put pressure on his behind so that he would have had to come out and apologize. He would have had to show his face and say something. But because it's black people, nobody gives a dang. We know black people are going to turn the other cheek.
And I don't think, like I said, it's more to this. I mean, you got to realize this is a precedented event that has happened. This has never, ever happened in the history of sports.
Yes,
this
it
is
has.
This is something. This is something that will never, ever happen.
Mark Thompson.
Legally. And like I said, look at, can I say something? Legally, and you got to look at it from all aspects because this is business. It's not personal, okay? It's personal what he said to the woman, true enough. But it affects the business as a whole. And when you look at what the bylaws and all the things of the NBA and the Owners Association says in their bylaws outside of the NBA bylaws, at the end of the day, when you say all this is said and done, a protest wouldn't have done a thing. Because it still would have had to go through. It still would have to ride itself out.
The sponsors are leaving. The sponsors are leaving.
It would still have to ride itself out, and this is nothing that you can sort out in one day. You cannot sort this out in two or three days.
All right, hold on. Come on now, y'all. Y'all know the rules, one at a time. Why y'all continue to try to talk all together? I don't know. Come on now.
It was like Tiger Woods when they suspended him from all of his sponsors and everything and left him. He still played, but they still tried to empty his coffin. So his sponsors are leaving. They're sponsoring him.
It's a different
ballgame. They're walking away.
It might be a different ballgame, but it's still a show. Okay, watch this. Two of San Diego's sponsors have already pulled out. Or Los Angeles Los Angeles Clippers sponsors have already pulled out. The ramifications are going to be large.
Listen. Bernard Parks, a city councilman in L.A., has already told the L.A. Times if he doesn't come out with an apology and address the situation, they're going to stop running ads for his real estate business.
Exactly. That's what I just said.
Everybody stop because we circling the drain here. Let's go on and put it out what it is. Okay, yes, we know for right now everybody's going to pull ads they got for him, whether he do an apology or not. You know, we know that they're going to go ahead and pull ads until everything quiets down, you know, which
mm-hmm.
probably be, you know, next year when the season starts again, then they'll be right back on it. Come on, y'all.
He won't be there next year.
But see, here's the thing, Les, and this is what you fail to realize. He's going to be there. Now, see, y'all, see, and I'm listening, but he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And because the other owners aren't going to force him out.
Nope.
Okay, and I don't believe they can force him out. Now, as far as the players, you know, the players have a team meeting. You know, yes, Chris Paul is the president of the Players Union. And they decided, okay, look, we're going to turn our chests inside out during warm-ups, but we're going to continue to pray, blah, 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 play. Now, see, what you have to understand also, you know, as an athlete, there's still the pride thing. You know, your owner, okay, so your owner is talking crazy, whatever. It's no longer about the owner. See what I'm saying? What he does, you know, a lot of times you look at the head shed as just that, the head shed. Whatever happens up there. What matters to me is what's going on this court. So, okay, you know, with them having that meeting, I'm sure they discuss all, listen, I'm sure they discuss all, you know, but you're talking about playoffs, you're talking about money, and, you know, whether, Mays, you say whether kids won't starve or not, you don't know that.
Well, I didn't say that.
You know,
I didn't
just
say
because
that.
They make these, listen, because they make so much money, you know, you think maybe they're doing so well. Some of the guys, you know, they have child support. They got all kinds of, they live in a lot larger than they're supposed to, basically. You know, but the bottom line is it comes down to economics. If the fans show up, then nothing anybody do is going to matter because there's still money going in the coffers. And in all honesty, more of them going to show up now to see if they can get a glimpse of the girlfriend.
Right.
Or him.
He's not going to be there.
You know,
can I respond to that?
No, he's not going to. No, he's not showing up.
Can
at
I respond
that game
to
so
you,
far.
Mr. Talk? Can I
right,
respond
Mr.
to
Talk,
you? I disagree.
Go ahead, Renee.
I have to disagree. I love you, but I have to disagree because this is just what we do. Black people are too easily sold or too easily bought. Okay, we are too easily bought. We will go to the highest bidder, and the highest bidder still bidding low. We are willing to put our morals, our values, and everything else on the line for some money. Now, you say that their kids wouldn't have been, you know, hungry and all that. I don't think so. But whatever the case, you have to make a stand at some point in your life and what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. And, again, with it being a 70% black league, there is no damn reason that these black men should have not stood up and should have done something about it. You were talking about multimillionaires in this business. If it was them collectively pooling a certain amount of money to do something or what have you, they could have did something about it. And what Les was saying, I disagree with as well. We have to understand that we do have some power. And I feel like what he's saying is that whole passive thing that black people always do. Putting it in the
no,
hands of
you don't have any power when it comes to the NBA, the NFL, or any of those. You don't have any power when it comes to those.
I'll listen to you.
Let her finish, Les. Let her finish, and then
you
can respond.
I'll listen to you.
Okay, now, you know what? Go ahead, respond. I'm going
to
respond to this what you say.
No, she hasn't finished.
I know. Just let me
I'm
going to
let her. I said, go ahead. Listen to what I'm saying.
He's not talking.
Anyway, so the fact is we do have power, okay? We have power as a people. We allow all of this stuff to be passive, and then we look to people like the NAACP and all this. They done gave this man an award and was getting ready to give him another one next month. For lifetime participation or whatever. So now it's like, oh, well, it's up to the owners and let the NBA deal with it and see what they're going to come out. Do you think these people are going to do right by us as the black community? Hell no, they're not. Because they're looking at the financial underlying. So when you talk about the owners have to stand up and do this and do that, you know the hell they not. This is a white man's club, okay? This is a good old boys club. And no matter what they come out and smile and grin with black players, it's all about that money. That plantation right there is the basketball court. It's all the same thing. Black people, y'all need to wake up. Y'all need to stop depending on people that have your best interest in heart. They're not going to.
Renee,
you
have to
think
about who.
If you would listen to what I said earlier, I said the very same thing that you said. I said 9 times out of 10, but they are going to be forced to put him out, and this is going to be exactly the way it's going to play out. They're going to force him out for the simple fact that it's not good for the NBA as a whole, for their pockets. Okay,
but why should we rely on that?
Wait, this is not going to end. This is not going to end right here. This is going to last and linger.
But can
okay?
I speak now?
Right now, they're in the playoffs. They're not in a regular season. If you would have said, if this would have came out in the beginning of the season, then I would have seen everybody in the league standing up.
But Doc Rivers
just sat back and had a live interview on the phone, and they were sitting back saying, do you think they ought to protest right now? He said, no, it ain't going to do no good. What would be the point right now? Because the whole NBA, Detroit is not in the playoffs.
But who's on it?
Half of the NBA is not playing right now.
Let's take a break.
More than half. It's only down to 18.
What would be the point?
Can I speak?
What is the point of saying right now
for them to protest and not play the game?
Listen, hold on a second. I have a question for you. Who buys the season tickets to these games? You got the black, they got the players on the floor, but who holds the biggest of the bucks to the season tickets to watch these games or go to the game? We sit back
who
and watch
the
ball? TV. Yeah.
It could be white. Thank you.
Predominantly
white. So they're the ones that's watching those on the floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something real quick, please.
I'm not saying that they don't want it. Listen to what I'm saying.
So if they don't do nothing about it, they like what's going on.
You can protest till hell freeze over. It's not going to do no good right now.
I want to keep this real world.
It wouldn't do any good until next year when tickets are being sold.
Not next year.
Listen to me.
Yeah, you know what? It won't happen until next season. Next season, you're going to see a drop-off in black participation
in
NBA
games.
No, it's
not.
Bunch of pits.
You're going to see white participation drop. Yes, you will.
No,
yes, you will. If they don't get rid of this man,
no, it's not.
If they do not get rid of him, you will see a drop nationally.
No.
Nationally, you will see it hurt the NBA.
Well, and if it ever did drop, it will be very momentarily. It will be for a very short period.
It will be momentarily.
What do you mean it doesn't help to protest right now?
What are you going to possibly do? What are you going to prove right now by protesting?
Apply pressure.
If 90% of the people that buy the tickets are white,
so what?
And they're not getting their money back. Let's face
the
fact. They're not getting their money back. And this is the playoffs.
So what?
They are sitting back and they thinking about one thing.
You are putting our work behind some damn ticket holders and it being the playoffs.
You
put in black people's self-respect and decency behind that.
It's not just ticket holders is at that game, baby. I'm sorry. But you got people coming from everywhere that like the Clippers, that have spent their hard-earned money, that have sat back taking off of work.
Do you think that gay people will be out there playing?
And they're going to sit back and those players are going to play. They're going to play for the people.
I don't care if they turn their shirts in or out. They wouldn't be out there playing, and we know it.
That turn the inside-out shirt thing didn't mean nothing.
No, it didn't.
May I say something for a minute?
It didn't do not one thing.
1 minute. May I say something for a minute? I'm imagining me when I used to be a loan officer at the bank. At headquarters, if I was at and the CEO came out publicly and said what he said about me as a black, it would be hard for me, and I would go, but I'm quite sure if he would say that, it would be hard for me to go in and make that big money. It would be hard.
You know what?
That's why, hold on, listen.
Right, you hold on a minute. Hold on, wait a minute.
In the corporate world, they cannot make
that type of statements.
That's why in the corporate world, they will never make these type of statements in, as far as lawsuits and things of that nature. It is what it is.
I'd like to agree with that if that wasn't some type of fallacy. Because you know what? You know what?
I bet you if you look in
the corporate world, you would find even more of these bigots that are out here.
All right, look. You know what? This just came to mind because we talked about it a little bit on the show a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it's interesting because remember this guy at, was it Google or Microsoft? Either way, one of those guys who did a contribution to an anti-gay
right.
organization back in 2008. Y'all remember that we
yeah.
talked about that and how he was forced to resign? Just, I
Absolutely.
Mean, for doing something in 2008. Now, if you really look at that, right? Now, I know some say, well, that's different. You know, that's corporate. But he was CEO. You know, now, and you look at this guy here, he owns been owning a basketball team for, what, over 20-something years?
30 years.
I think so. 30 years.
Yeah.
And if they haven't got rid of this man yet, you think they're going to get, you know what's going on with him? It's like, okay, there he go again, you know.
Right.
Remember now, Michael Jordan just recently became an owner, maybe a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, really, he's the new kid on the block. So what do you say? Oh, well, he don't know the game yet. You know, so let's look at it realistically. This guy ain't going nowhere.
Well,
you
no,
know, because
realistically,
this is
he has to go.
This is nothing new. Okay, I can fix that. look, this is nothing new. Nothing new.
Not the first time.
You know, and honestly, the more I think about it, it's more, I think it's more of a publicity stunt. You know, he know ain't nobody going to do nothing to him.
Yeah.
Hell, he going to shell out some money wherever he has to shell it out. It's going to go away. And over the season, I mean, over the off season, it's going to go away. And next season, they start over brand new like nothing happened.
Right.
That's just the nature, that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
You know, because it's all about that money. The man is a billionaire. Okay, so it's not like, I mean, he done beat other races and discriminatory charges by just shelling
mm-hmm.
out money. So what makes
mm-hmm.
this so different? He done told the girl, look, if you can't do what I say, I get another one.
Right.
But see, there's a
you know, so
time
basically what he's saying is, I give you what you need and you can go about your business.
Mm-hmm. You better shut up.
But see,
yeah.
sometimes it's good to be emotional with your money in this, and you can when you protest and stop spending your money and take a stance. That's being emotional about your money. So it's pros and cons to that. I agree
right.
with you, Renee.
Man, Michael, you talking about old money network here, the old boys network, and trust me, he got enough money to
what you
to stop. He got enough money to get away with what he want to get away with, huh?
But see, Mr. Thompson, you're talking about.
Our Sharpton want to protest. Okay, hell, we've been protesting and marching for years. And what has
that
got?
They were protesting the other night. They had signs out there
tonight.
Well,
what's that going to do?
Well,
it'd be good if we could protest and we had some power behind the protest, but to get out there and walk around with signs, oh, well.
Right.
It's
we do.
Don't
we
don't
do.
Don't
we do a lot of talking.
Something is better than nothing.
Hey, Eric, Mr. Solution, may I make a comment?
Sure, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, what I think you may need to consider is getting in a professional problem solver / mediator. I know Dr. Anderson will do some of that, but one of the big problems is knowing how to address an issue. And it's not just something people naturally know. They have to learn how to do it. And so that may be what you need, because there are steps to obviously communicating and laying out what the problem is and then addressing the problem in terms of your resources. So that's what effective
mm-hmm.
people do. Does that make sense?
And also,
okay, yes, I understand that.
Yeah, Claude Anderson had a problem
Go ahead,
too with this system. I said, Claude Anderson had a problem with this system too. The reason some of the things he don't have is because of this system that he can't get all the
No, hold up. So basically you're saying,
but when
hold
we
up,
talk to him, he'll tell you that too.
No,
it's
Mr. Houston, when you talk about when people solve their problems, do you think when you were talking about the money aspect, people will, you know, consider their finances before they would, you know, before they come to a solution with their problem?
Was that a question or a statement?
That was the question for Mr. Solution.
Well, what was the question, sir? I didn't hear it stated as a question.
The question went, okay, my question to you is, are you conveying to us is that we must consider our financial state when trying to solve our problems in our lives?
That's a good question. Finances would be one of the resources that one would need. It's not the only resource. It is one of the resources.
That's what you were conveying to us, though.
Excuse me?
Robert, that's what you were conveying to us. You said finances.
That's what I was communicating, exactly, yes.
Oh, okay,
but,
all right.
But I want to make it very, very lucid or clear. Finances is just one of the resources in problem solving. You've got to have organizational skills. You've got to be able to lay the problem out. You've got to have a willingness to actually solve the problem. Some people are not interested in solving problems, believe it or not.
No,
they're just interested in bouncing the problem around and nursing the problem. So what you've got to do is get a group of people, regardless of what hue they are. They're human, so that's the most important thing. Ideas are going to be your most important assets, and how you arrange and organize and empower yourself by those ideas. So that's the reason I suggest you get a professional problem solver. Now, Dr. Claude Anderson is obviously part of that. And reading his book, you're not going to advance very far without some studious investigation. You're going to have to do some reading, and a lot of people don't want to do that. And, you know, his book, Powernomics, and I encourage Eric, I want to light a fire under him to say to him, if you're really interested in solving problems, here is a book that you can actually get this. You could actually study that book on your program. What a novel idea. You can go to chapter 1, 2, 3, and actually talk about that book, Organized Information and Ideas of Empowerment.
Can I see when he finishes?
I wanted to respond to Mr. Talk.
Can I respond, Renee, first? Please. You can have a book and read it and organize ideas, but if you don't use them, it's no good.
Right,
if you don't
want to
have a group together, one person.
Wait a minute, hold
up.
Go ahead, Renee.
Huh?
Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. I wanted to respond to Mr. Talk. Okay, now you talked about the person who worked for the big company and he was forced out because he donated to, I think it was anti-gay marriage, whatever. But that's the exact thing. It was pressure put on him. Now, look how pathetic to me. And I feel like in the dominant society's eyes as well, look how pathetic black people look. We are the biggest percentage in this league, and we have zero respect. People who are, their sexuality, not even, this is a sexuality, a sexual choice that they decide to be a part of. We are a race of people. We are a culture of people. And we don't even stand up. We don't even put ourselves in the position to do anything. Now, I am not the one who's really all about the protesting and all that. However, we still need to have some type of united front. We still need to say something all together. We need to make some type of statement that we're not just going to sit down and let this roll by. Well, we got all these damn black men out here playing basketball. That is pitiful. Yeah. And to them, in their eyes, they see the same thing. Black people are easily bought. They don't have integrity. They don't stand up for their race. They don't do anything. They allow others to handle their situation and keep it moving. And I listened to some conservative white radio hosts, a few of them, talking about this issue, and they said the same thing that I'm saying now, the same to their white listeners. And this is pathetic, and this is how people view us. Now, if we just went out and protested and everything, okay, yeah. But that's where I'm saying where the players come in. The players are the product. That's what people come to see. People don't come there to see the owners. They come in to see them players and what they do on the court. And it's going to hurt. Anytime you have to take a stand for something, it's going to hurt. It has to hurt for the civil rights movement, and they kids really were starving. But they had to make a choice. And this may hurt me financially to a certain extent. I might be kind of down for a minute. But we got to do something, brothers. Let's do something. And that's what
I think, Renee, I'm sorry. The real lack of power is in your communities. The the NBA is just a microcosm. That right. And most of those guys are very young guys. They don't understand what's going on anyway. You can't expect those guys to erect some kind of great movement that they didn't come from, or nor do they understand.
No, I'm not saying erect a great movement to make a statement. I mean, I understand they're young, but these are black men in a powerful position, okay?
Yeah, but they don't have any control. They don't have any power.
Yes,
they
do.
They don't even know what's going on, to tell the truth. Most of them are not that well educated.
Okay, but listen, if they don't have power, why are our young kids somehow
well educated?
Hold on. Listen, like Renee said, with having too many of our young kids trying to strive to be NBA players, which is one in a million chance. They say that NBA and entertainment impact is also so much submission. They do have I guess they do can make a social standing.
Absolutely. They have a platform, and I understand these are young black men. However, that's not the point. I'm not talking about erecting a huge movement. I'm talking about them as a black man making a statement to say, well, we're not going to play. I'm not saying they have to plot out all of these things, but they need to do something to say, okay, brothers, we're going to stop going to these, we're going to stop playing for however many games, we're going to get out of the playoffs. That's what
well,
I'm
that
saying. Nobody wants to take this step.
I understand
gonna,
you're just
well,
brainstorming.
Let's quit this fallacy. They are not going to stop the entire playoffs. All the teams will not agree to stop for a once-in-a-lifetime chance because
should.
They don't play for the owners. When it comes to getting that ring,
yes,
they
do.
Playing for themselves. Wait,
they are under
they're playing
contract.
For the owners.
Wait,
they
when they own that court,
the
wait, when
they
own that
play.
Court, when they own that court, they are not concerned about that owner. They're playing for them. They're playing
oh,
for one
no.
thing. They, wait,
they're
wait.
Playing for the owners
now,
too.
I'm telling
can
you,
the owner
this is what was said out of their mouth, not out of mine.
Can the owner penalize them when they do
that.
Something wrong?
This is their
can,
livelihood.
Can the owner penalize the players when they do something wrong?
Yes
that's
they
a fact.
The owners, actually, the owner don't penalize too many people at all.
Yes,
if you look at the NBA, if you look at anything,
the
NBA
gets,
as an association does the main
he makes
thing.
The team suspensions,
right,
yes, but
Mr. Talk, if
but
you
I
look
have,
at
yes.
if you
does
look at
you
all
more,
of the suspensions,
all smart people have money. No, just because
you
have money, does that make them smart?
Wait a minute, man.
If you look at all of the suspensions. Most of the suspensions come down through the NBA. The penalties and payoffs, fines come through the NBA Association. They don't come from the owners. The owners don't give a jack. Okay? Because it's two separate. They're running a separate hook here.
It does not matter. It's all
and watch this. The man will be out of there by this year. He will be out of there in the next 30 days.
And if he does,
you cannot
then
tell
what does that
me.
Mean?
He will be
you
out of there in the next 30 days.
You have another one just like him.
That man will be gone before.
You have another one just like him. That's what
they
you know.
Will be gone. He will be gone. He got to be forced out.
They
okay,
want
the
him
NBA
be,
knows
they want
this.
Him to be gone by